Hello and welcome to The Brand Called You. This is Sandeep Tyagi, your host. And today, the brand we are speaking with is Puneet Shivam. He's the CEO and Managing Director of Avendus Capital Incorporated. And prior to that, he's worked with many different famous and large companies like Andersen, EXL, Mitchell Madison Group. And also, importantly, we worked together in a firm called Inductus for several years. So welcome to the podcast, Puneet.
Thank you, Sandeep. Always a pleasure speaking with you. You have been a mentor for so long, and I'm so glad that we are having this conversation. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, Avendus is a famous brand in the space of iBanking. And it also has a significant partnership with KKR, which is a famous private equity firm. So tell us about Avendus's business mix. Are you guys iBank, private equity, all of the above? What does Avendus focus on? What's the mix?
So, Sandeep, that's a question we debate about often, and answer is never very clear. But few things are clear, which is kind of the heart of who we are. So we are basically focused on providing capital-related solutions to entrepreneurs. That's pretty, we call it partnering with entrepreneurs. So as you have been a couple of times, as I have been, we think that entrepreneurs need a very strong set of ethical, you know, very partnership mindset, services and partners and their journey on the capital side. So whether it's raising capital in the first round or raising larger capital, creating liquidity, managing wealth. And then, as you said, we also work on providing capital to them. So we are, just in terms of business sense, we are investment bank. That's how we started. We have a hedge fund. We have a private equity fund, very, very specialized one. We have taking them public services, which we acquired through Spark. We have wealth management services and we have credit solutions. So in some ways, we are like one of the bulge brackets, but more focused on entrepreneur than large enterprises.
So the whole journey from creating the company to scaling it to exiting through IPO or M&A and then managing the wealth that has been created.
Absolutely.
That's great. And how does US fit into it? Is Avendus mostly focused on India or US-India corridor, or is it also in other countries? What is the global mix, geographical mix of the business?
So Sandeep, that's where if we go back to the, when I mentioned entrepreneurs, right? So just if you peel the onion on where the, what do entrepreneurs need, you will find what largely at least 90% of what Avendus does. So so if an entrepreneur, so in today's world, capital provision even today largely happens through from US. So, you know, my guess is about 70-80% of world capital that's used in investing, not just, you know, real estate, others, is created in US. So US becomes very important from that perspective. The other thing which US holds a very important key for us and all entrepreneurs is very large part of almost every market is US, right? I mean, there are obviously notable exceptions, like we service local consumer demand in India, which is India as a market. But for large amount of technology services, US is a big market. So US becomes relevant to our entrepreneurs that we target in many ways. In fact, there's also a personal story there, Sandeep. If we holistically serve entrepreneurs, you know, the number of kids that come to study in the US, you are familiar with, you know, the strong affinity between the two cultures. I mean, two largest democracies are also there. So US is never far from any entrepreneur, especially in India's mind. So while a large part of our business is in India, to be relevant to our entrepreneurs, we need to be very connected to them in the US. And that.
So you help people find good universities for their kids as well in the overall part of the journey. That's part of the advice that you have been asked to sometimes provide.
So Sandeep is very true. It comes through that, which we professionally say that not our strength. But Sandeep, where it, not jokingly, where it plays out is we do end up helping just informally, because entrepreneurs become friends, because when we are transversing 25 years with them, you know, they are no longer just clients. So there are, you know, we connect them to find internships here. We, you know, we help them anytime with their, you know, LRS, which is a liberalized repatriation scheme, with their money in India coming out. So we do end up engaging with that. In fact, how many entrepreneurs we have helped with the kids on internship or getting kids advice, like not our advice, but connecting to people like you, right? I mean, you know, so the ecosystem, if you take ecosystem view, Sandeep, my belief and our belief is it's a very different world. You pay, you kind of, you know, contribute to each other. So, and we have an ecosystem view, both at Avendus and myself.
Got it. Now, India has been a phenomenal journey for creating unicorns and private companies. I don't know what the latest statistics are, but certainly US, China, India, they are now being talked about as the biggest creators of unicorn constantly. Public market exits have not been nearly as successful. Some of the ones that have gone public are trading at a significant discount to their IPO prices. How do you see this playing out? Do you think that the exits through creating stable, sustainable public company values is going to happen soon? Or you think the private company has become overvalued? How do you see, I'm sure when you advise people or you think about the journey, this is a question that keeps coming up on what's the final stage or step here, or not the final, but the exit for the private capital that has been put into it. How do you guys think about that?
So Sandeep, the amazing thing about economies, again, coming back to one of my passions, is that strange thing about economies is that it's very hard to predict 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's much clearer to predict longer term, 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if, let me first narrate 15, 20 years and what's needed to get there, and then interim is less predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it starts with the belief that the local markets have. I mean, you saw US, right? Through Corona, through inflation, through long period of time. One of the things about US is that people believe, globally people believe in US, right? They bet their careers, they bet their capital, they, you know, they buy US treasuries, they create innovation and come to US to sell it, right? So the belief is very, very critical. That sets the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the change I have seen, Sandeep, in very, almost like a fortunate, very fortunate stages, when belief was not there so much in India, to where now belief is.
Mm.
So we are at a point in India where the belief exists. And belief is not about one single thing. The belief reaches the takeoff velocity when belief is in the youth, belief is in the financial performance, belief is in the parents that my kid can start a company and still succeed. The belief is in believing that I can bet my career in India rather than come like you and I to US to build a great career. So Sandeep, that belief now exists. Right.
Nice.
And that belief is very, very infectious, because when you believe, when the country and the nation believes, others start believing. So what I have been seeing over the last 5 to 10 years, which is why unicorns, capital, and, you know, everything is flowing into India with its hiccups, that people are picking up on that belief. So some things are very, very, very gratifying as a Indian born person. See, there was a time where, you remember, one of the things I used to do, take Indian companies, US companies into India.
For outsourcing.
I see the big funds here talk with pride that they know India. They say that I've been to these 7 countries in India. They pitch to us with that power, that almost selling their knowledge of India to us, because we seek them for investment and others. So with all that belief, the foundation is there. Now, with that foundation, there are certain both cultural and institutional aspects, right? The cultural aspect is that there's still that transition from a true belief in abundance, where you don't cut corners, to belief in some things may go wrong, so let's cut some corners. I think that cultural aspect is still there, which will take whatever 10, 15, a generational kind of shift to do. And the other thing, which is also very cultural, which will take longer to do, is amazing diversity in terms of the objectives of life and the economic stature, right? It's just, Sandeep, you know, it's tremendously different, right? So with those things, the institutions to support my first belief turning into a well-being of other people is much more messy journey. And it's thankfully democratic, because then it's no central one do it. But when we will get there, it'll be far more sustainable and far more compounding, because one of the biggest power in the world is compounding. If you do it centrally, I believe compounding is less impactful. But if you do it democratically, so with all these things, the trajectory in 15, 20 years is absolutely clear to me, at least, and us, that we will have a very strong economy, very vibrant, where capital will flow freely. You will have trust in public markets. You know, valuation will also get balanced as you get deep in the market. So right now, what's happening is that traditional Indian capital system is interacting with very Western, because US is a big interaction there. I think that fit has not happened yet. So the metrics of US are being used to evaluate India. So I think it will take, in my view, about 10 years for what you were saying, that public market exits will stabilize, will, because law of large numbers will come into play. So I think anybody who's looking at India shorter than that, you know, use your judgment, find unique opportunities or something. But anybody who's looking 10 years or more, I think it's a kind of a no-brainer. So that's the long answer. And we strongly believe, and that's what we are building towards.
Understood. Now, I know you obviously understand analytics very well. That's been your some of your background. And banking and building relationship with entrepreneurs is about interpersonal skills and relationships. How do you balance in your world? What do you think is more important between analyzing the opportunity, getting it right, or understanding people and building the right relationship? Which is more important?
That's very interesting question, Sandeep, and that's a trillion or multi-trillion dollar question. And but its answer will be very personal, Sandeep, because I think we all transverse and interact. And most importantly, in my case, you adjust for what's new skill. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I'm looking at it, versus old skill. Mm-hmm. So analytics, as you're probably, and you know, just using whatever definition of analytics or intellect, right, probably better word would be, is that it puts things in context. You can relate to things, you can predict things by seeing a pattern. Mm-hmm. But the input to that in intellect, Sandeep, is to me emotional. Mm-hmm. So if you do, meaning it's like somebody told me an example about Saks Fifth Avenue. That if suppose monkeys got into Saks Fifth Avenue at night and changed the price tag of everything, they took a $5,000 coat and put $5, you know, shoe lip there and vice versa, then all analytics will not help you, because you will do pricing inventory and do 15 supply chain analysis, it'll be wrong. So to me, the EQ, the emotional understanding of what matters to people, gives you the value of the weightages of the things that you'll optimize for. But you do need intellect to tie it all together to come up with a course of action, a recommendation, and other things. But the backdrop Wi-Fi is, without EQ, you know, we do all the bad things you hear about, all these scams and others, because people are applying analytics without EQ, or even I would call it ethical other EQ, right? So you need these two things to be effective and meaningful and a leader. Now, why I said it's relevant, probably more relevant to me, personally, in our circle, Sandeep, is that we grew up in overweight of intellect. Mm-hmm. No need to continue to exercise the legs which you have exercised for 20 years. Let's move to heart and your hands and exercise those. So, but to me, that's crystal clear as I read, whether one profession or another profession, I think intellect is necessary to make sense out of all the emotional input. But without that, you are solving for the wrong problem. You may solve it perfectly, but you're solving.
Okay. All right. Well, let's change gears about personal life. Where were you born?
I was born in a very small town, which some people will know, but most will not know. It's a town called Itawa in India.
In UP, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Known for its dacoits.
Okay. So what was your childhood like? What was the family environment? What kind of school did you go to? What was your early years?
So I mean, obviously, that's so small a town, it's even now people don't know about it. So it was very, my dad was in a transferable government job. So last I counted, I think I was in 8 schools by the time I went to high school or 12th grade. So my childhood was very, very varied. I mean, every 2-3 years, I had to make new friends and I had to understand new set of teachers, new set of systems, new city, right? So my childhood was very mobile. But within that, you know, when I look back, there were a few things which stuck with me throughout. One was that there was this emotional safety, which is, you know, due to family. And the second thing was this constant, I don't know where it got in, Sandeep, but this quest of two things. One is excellence. Somewhere it got into me. And the second was, without drive, you can't do anything. So these two values me, and I didn't have to revisit them, and they served me very well.
Who inculcated that? Was it your father? Was it self-driven? Was it a teacher? How did you get these values? Because we all strive to try to get that into our children. What was your turning point or source?
My excellent source was no doubt my father. Because despite being in government service, which, you know, India people used to complain about this and that, bureaucrat and all that. But I had seen him like just put his best foot forward every day, working like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. And to be frank, there was like egoistic, a selfish thing. I saw how much respect he got from people. So I think it was, don't quote me on that, it's like a chief minister. I think it was Narendra Tiwari, but one chief minister came, surprised with the respect he had for my father. So I just knew at that point, excellence is greatly rewarded. And that, and you know, and then dad kept saying that things like, you know, you always try, you always have to be the best and all that. So that excellence, the drive was a mix of mom and dad. Because I saw my mom's drive mostly in, my mom was later on started working, but at that time was not working. But I used to see my mom. I still remember one story, which kind of 20, 30 years back, I still remember. Sandeep, was that we were celebrating, going to celebrate Diwali, our family. And my, you know, in that area, Diwali was pretty. And my mom was setting the Diwali puja and lights and stuff. And I saw her like going after everything with such an energy that I actually still remember it. I felt that that is the energy. And thankfully, she still has the same energy to the date. So I think these two things. So if I was to go to your question, Sandeep, I'm also struggling how to inculcate in our kids. I think kids do probably 20% of what you say, but 80% of what they see you do.
Yeah.
I think the best advice I'll have, I'm trying to follow this myself, is that if you pursue excellence, I think they will pick up. Like I picked up. My dad told me this, but I don't remember his telling me. I remember his reaction.
Right. Very interesting. No journey is all bed of roses. All of us go through some struggles. What was your toughest moment and what did you learn from it?
My toughest moment, let me tell professionally and then personally, right? Professionally, Sandeep, there was a time I was a very high performer, a kind of, you can call it, star at IIT Kanpur, where I went to do. And then after 4 years of, you know, just, you know, Shivam, you people used to call me, Shivam will do it, Shivam is good, Shivam is that. If some of my friends will see it, they will relate to it. That Shivam knows, Shivam doesn't have to study to perform all those things. Although I did study, but I studied in a way that people felt I'm not studying. And then after IIT, I went to decide on career next door, right? What next step? And at that time, I was not focused. So I was trying everything. So I was trying an entrepreneurial venture with my dad's friend and a professor. I was trying to do civil services, which IAS exam, DigiTough exam, which my sister was also doing. And I was trying for MBA, IIM, right? These are like pretty much all things you can do, but I was trying all things at the same time. And in my first go round, I failed in all three. Entrepreneurial ventures, too young, too, and then fell down. I got to a level of IAS exam, but didn't do the final one. And I didn't try IIM. First time I didn't try IIM. So I was like devastated because emotionally I was not ready for this failure. So I remember, and I'll not say it was in Hindi, so maybe audience will not understand, but there was a saying, I still remember that sticking one, that I had so much that I could leave things on the table. And now I don't even have what I used to leave on the table. So that's the emotion I had. I had a very, very tough time dealing with that failure. And at that time, I think the drive came in. I think I will prove myself wrong, right? I just, like, strange thing to say, but I'll prove myself wrong. So I wrote civil services again, and I wrote IIM again. And I got into IIM Ahmedabad, which is one of the best IIMs. And I made it to the final stage of IES, and I had to make a choice that do I continue with IES, the last stage, and give up IIM or not? But I was afraid enough, despite my bravado, that I took IMA. And since then, didn't look back. And more importantly, I didn't look back, Sandeep, is that with that, dealing with the failure and with my drive, I think I can do it. I right now believe that, you know, I started Avendus US in 2008. So you can see how you know, I feel I can do it. But that experience told me no failure is final.
Yeah.
But it was very deep, very deeply hurting.
What is a cause or a passion that you have? Of course, besides job and family, we know everybody thinks about those. But what's one thing that you can spend a lot of time thinking about, working on?
So there's an emotional and then when I spend time. So I'll take liberty to answer in two parts. So one is, Sandeep, I get extreme. Like, I'm a big supporter of St. Jude's Hospital. My eyes tear up when I look at a sick kid. So my heart passion, although I'm not a doctor, so I can't spend much time on it. But I think a sick kid is just heartbreaking for me. The guy or girl has like whole life ahead of them. I also feel for their parents. So anything to do anywhere in the world, sick child. But I don't have medical or substantial knowledge to contribute to it. So apart from, you know, supporting it and spreading the word. The second thing, Sandeep, that really I spend time and I'm passionate about. And you said cause, so I'll talk about cause. And there's one more. But is that I really love to make entrepreneurs succeed. I think entrepreneurs are the lifeblood of the world as we live in, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about after the first point, of course, medical issues. So I believe on. So I have spent so much time thinking about it, what makes for a good company. And I also do a lot of things which many of the people who listen at, I try to contribute to so many companies without any commercial feeling. And I really enjoy when I see entrepreneurs putting pieces together and solving something which will be useful for the world. So I think that's where I spend my time.
Okay. All right. Well, that's quite connected to the work there. So it's good that you like it. And that's also your work. So that's good. Next section, Puneet, is kind of like, you know, the coffee with Karan fast round kind of thing. I'm going to ask you a bunch of quick questions. Whatever comes to your mind is the right answer. The key is you don't stop to think. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book is Gone with the Wind.
Okay. What's your favorite cuisine?
My favorite cuisine is Thai.
Okay. And if you could meet any historical figure for a dinner, who would you like to meet and what will you ask them?
I would like to meet Mahatma Gandhi.
And what would you ask him? What kind of a conversation would you want to have?
I would like to know that how could he believe in what he was doing when everything was stacked against him. He had no power. He had never been in an election. He had no positions. I really want to know the source of that inspiration and belief that made him do what he did without any of the tools that we take for granted, including physical strength. So I would like to know that.
What's the one achievement that you're most proud of?
That's hard. That's a hard.
What comes to your mind?
What comes to my mind is my older daughter said once that I want to be like you, Dad. That's my proudest.
Wow. That's a really good one. If you find yourself with a free afternoon, a big meeting just got canceled at the last minute, how do you spend that time?
I would I would go to the internet and just study the markets and what's macroeconomics. Argentina has had a new election. I want to see how their policies are changing. So free time, free time and not committed to work out other things. I do really study about economics and business and markets.
Okay. What's your favorite vacation spot in the world?
St. Martin in Caribbean.
All right. There you have it. Okay. We are almost to the end, Puneet. The last question is, what is brand Puneet Shivam in your own words?
So Sandeep, brand Puneet Shivam is made up of this, and I'll go with the flow. So one is that I'm like incredibly positive and enthusiastic about the world around me. People, systems, economic systems, capitalist systems. I'm very, very positive and enthusiastic and feel very blessed about it. Now, this drives other features of my brand. So one feature of my brand, I told you drive, right? The drive comes from, you know, feeling inspired, right? Doing things, but I feel that you can do it because system and world around you is beautiful. People around you are great. So it's outcome of that, but that drive I feel every day. And I like to take big challenge, solve it. Like I remember Avendus was like, I told you when it started, there was no chance. Logical person would not tell me to do it, but you know, took it and I like solving that. So that's drive. And the fourth point is that I actually just love learning, Sandeep. Every time I turn around, something new comes up and I learn a little bit biased towards technology and economics. But I love learning. It's so many new things that come up. You learn from people, you learn from reading. So that probably captures.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. The optimistic, the genuine, driven. I forgot that one. That's a very important one.
Very important. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Puneet, for spending the time and being who you are, inspiring so many people who are kind of looking at creating new enterprises and opportunities.
Sandeep, thank you very much for now and for your friendship over last quarter century now. So thank you for that, Sandeep.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.